Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Hello, good morning, welcome to Compass. Well, I guess I don't have to ask how you guys are doing. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Kevin Kaufman. I am the worship and youth pastor here, and I'm just going to take one moment here. Guys, we have the best worship team in the state. It is phenomenal. I wasn't going to say this, but my wife is hot. She's hot. There's just nothing better than that. Well, hey, we are finishing up our Think Small series. And so before we get going today, I kind of wanted to recap everything that we have talked about, small changes that we can make in our lives that can make huge impacts in our lives. So week one, we talked about prayer. And last week, Super Bowl, like testimony of a prayer. Let's just be honest, okay? Number two, second week, we talked about the idea of living open-handed. What if we chose to live open-handed with our finances, with our talents, our capabilities? What happened if we decided, hey, we were going to designate this area of our life and let God totally take control of that? And then the third week, we talked about the importance of what it means to be in small groups, what it means to go through this thing called life together with other people. We weren't meant to live it alone. And then last week, Mitchell Nelson, he talked about the importance of reading the Bible and what it means to, you know, just say, okay, every day I'm going to dedicate some time to God. And, even if it's just one verse, 1 minute, 100% change if you never did it before to just go into one verse. So today, I want to tell you guys a little story, and it's about a black leather coat, okay? Now, the year was around 2003, 2004, and it was Christmas time, okay? So just imagine pasty white Kevin with braces, long hair, okay? And I said, yo, mom, because that's how I talked to my mom when I was a kid, I really want a black leather jacket for Christmas. I think I'd look really cool. She's like, okay, sure. So Christmas time rolls around, and again, I'm in junior high, okay? And sure enough, what do I get? I get a black leather jacket. Now, here's the thing. Actually, you know what? I got the black leather jacket right here. My parents found it. So really quick, just imagine shorter Kevin, scrawny, shorter arms, okay? Oh, 70s and 80s, here I come. It's right. This is the black leather jacket. Now here's, I got to take this off. I can't keep it on. Now here's the other side of the story. Okay. So I have an older brother. His name's Adam. Adam's really cool. I like Adam. I love him to death. I didn't used to like him, but I really like him now. He got the exact same black leather jacket. Exact same black leather jacket. Now here's the thing. Okay. Before you guys do that. Okay. Me, junior high Kevin, I have an older brother. He's got the same coat. I'm feeling good about it, right? I'm like, yeah, me and my brother are going to look cool walking through Bloomington Junior High School with our black leather jackets. Now, here's the flip side of that. So my brother Adam, he's like, I want absolutely nothing to do with Kevin in that black leather jacket. I am not, no. In fact, it came to the point where it was quite honestly irritating for Adam because, and I don't blame him. I really don't. But we couldn't even wear the jacket on the same day when we went to church. We couldn't. If I had it on, he'd be like, nope, nope, no way, nope, can't do it. And he literally went downstairs, took the coat off, and it's 2 degrees outside, and he doesn't wear a coat to church. That's how much of a big deal this coat was. So I went on, and I started thinking, okay, I'm now 26 years old, and I started thinking to myself, okay, black leather jacket, it really wasn't that big of a deal at all. Like, it was just a black leather jacket. I thought it was a Calvin Klein jacket. It's not even a Calvin Klein. It's a weatherproof or a waterproof. I don't even know what it is. But it wasn't a big deal. It didn't really mean that much, except for it was just, you know, this black leather jacket. I didn't really look all that much cooler with it. In fact, I look a lot more paler when I wore it because it was so black. It was just this thing. It was this item. It was this thing that I held on to, and it caused some tension. My brother had the exact same thing. But what if I had said, okay, I know it's not a big deal. All right. You know what? I'm not going to fight Adam this time. You know, he can wear the jacket. I've got 30 other jackets. I like being warm. Okay. I'm a jacket guy. So I can do that. You know, if Adam wants to wear the black leather jacket, that's cool. Didn't really seem to faze me back then. Didn't really seem to be that big of a deal now. But it was this thing that just seemed like this overarching thing that was just like the black leather jacket. In fact, my brother and I still talk about it today, and my parents cringe. In fact, my parents are here, and my mom's probably like, stop talking, Kevin, please. But maybe you guys can be in a similar situation, right? Maybe you guys can relate to me. You know, maybe you guys have a party at work, okay? And they're like, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the food bank, okay? And we've got 150 employees that are going to go, and we're going to can some food at the food bank. Okay, well, I've got plans to watch, you know, a series of unfortunate events on Netflix. Do you think anybody will notice? And you start telling yourself, like, oh, man, it's not a big deal. You know, it's not a big deal. Nobody will notice, right? Nobody will notice that I'm here. I really don't want to go. Yeah, I don't want to make a thing of this. I don't want to talk to my other friends at work because they might ask if I'm going to be there. You know, I don't want to deal with it. You know, you're kind of in that situation where it's just like, I would just much rather not go. I would much rather not deal with it. Or maybe you're in this point where it's like, you know, nobody will notice. Nobody will notice. It's not a big thing. No worries. It doesn't mean anything. I'm going to be there. Somebody's going to see me. They're going to say, hi, Kevin. And that's going to be the extent of it. And then I don't have to worry about anything else. So maybe that's you. So this morning, we're going to talk about the idea of being kind of in those situations, in those times where it is, you know, does it really matter? Is it a big deal? Does it actually do anything? Like, is it like the black jacket? Does it matter? Do I need to hold on to that? Maybe not. So today, we're going to look in the book of Luke. And I love the book of Luke. I don't know why, but I see a whole lot of quotations in the Bible, which means that Jesus is talking. And so I love Luke. And so this is a story that we're going to talk about today in Luke chapter 10. Now, here's the backdrop, okay? There's this guy, okay? Every time you start a sentence with that guy, you know it's going to be a good story. So there's that guy. He's this religious expert, or excuse me, he's an expert in law, okay? He knows all the law. Jesus is there. And so he says, hey, Jesus, and you know, they stand like this back in the day. How do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, how do you read it? How do you interpret it? What do you think, really? He's, you know, I love my Jesus. He's sarcastic. How do you read it? And he says, well, love your God with all your heart, strength, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is like, cool, yeah, congratulations. You got it, man. Good job. And then the guy continues on, okay, that guy, he says, well, now hold on a minute here, Jesus. Who's my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And so Jesus goes into this story. Jesus taught in these things called parables. And so all it is it's a story to explain a point, to explain this idea. And so we're going to read today in Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And this is what Jesus replies. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Now, I'm going to stop there, okay? So Let's put this into our lives today. What does this look like, okay, this story, okay? You have this Jewish leader, okay, this priest, okay? He's this guy that's supposed to, you know, have it all together. He's this guy that's supposed to be caring and loving and nurturing. And, you know, he was a priest, okay? And then you've got this Levi who was under the priest. You know, he was still this religious guy. And he was there too. And they see this guy, okay? Last week, Mitch talked about being naked. I'm not about that, but that's cool. We can go there. They stripped him of his clothes. They robbed him of everything they had. And these two guys, who these religious leaders, these religious guys that are supposed to be caring and nurturing, they see him and they're like, no, no, no. I don't want nothing to do with you, okay? So that's like this, okay? Imagine with me, for those of you guys that don't know Chris Chandro, he is one of those guys that when he goes to do something, he is on a mission, okay? When he goes to Walmart, he is the guy that knows where the milk is at. He knows it's at the back of the store, but he's going to go get that milk, and he's going to get to the checkout line as fast as he can because he just wants to get in, get out, be done, go home, watch the Patriots over and over again win the Super Bowl. So That's like Chris going and he sees somebody. I won't say any names, but maybe he sees one of us from here at church and he just avoids us. He's like, oh, I don't want to, Kevin just can't stop talking. Like, just let's go. Terry, come on, let's go. And then all of a sudden, you know how like the Coca-Cola racks, how they try to do these fancy things with them. And then all of a sudden that just spills. And he's like, oh, I hate messes, but Terry, come on, let's go. Somebody else will clean it up, right? That's what these guys were like. They avoided the situation. They avoided the man that obviously needed their help. They just walked away. They just went away. They avoided him. They didn't think that it was any big deal. They were just like, somebody else will take care of it. So let's continue. Jesus continues in verse 33. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now, here's the thing. Samaritans, they weren't anybody in society at that time. They weren't anybody that had any stance in politics. They weren't really people that had a whole lot to say inside of what happened in the community, inside of the culture at that time. But yet, it took a Samaritan on his way to see this man in need. And he said, okay, I'll take him. Okay, I'll take care of him. I'll see what happens. And we'll just go from here. In fact, the scriptures continue and they say he put him on his donkey and then he took him to an inn and then he paid for the innkeeper and he said, hey, if he stays here any longer, just let me know. I'll take care of him, put it on my tab. So the guy says, okay, all right, cool. So at this time, this guy, he was on his way. Jesus didn't clarify, he stopped doing what he was doing. He stopped doing everything that he had set up. He stopped all of his plans and he said, I'm going to take care of this guy. No, he said that, well, I'm on my way into town. I got a donkey. I don't have to carry him. Let's put him on the donkey. That's all that happened. So the Samaritan, he takes him, he pays for him to have a place to sleep, to be a little relaxed, to recuperate from being beat up and stripped of everything that he had. And so at this time, Jesus ends the story by asking, this expert on law. And he says, okay, which of these three men were good neighbors to the man? Which of these three people were great neighbors to the person in need? Now, if you go back and you see what the expert on law asked before, he said, who is my neighbor? Right? Who is my neighbor? Who am I supposed to take care of? And then Jesus flips it at the end of his story, and he says, who do you think was a good neighbor? Who do you think was the one who cared for the other person in need? So the expert said, well, obviously the Samaritan, he cared for him. He put him on his donkey. And then Jesus said, yeah, great. Good job. Congratulations. Now go and do what he did. That was it. That's the end of the story. That's all it took. It took a man saying, you know what? I'm on my way. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to do something, but I'm going to take care of this person as well. I'm going to put him on the donkey, take him to the inn, and be done with it, right? It's like saying hi to somebody at Walmart. So if you ever see Chris, run up to him before he can get away. So maybe you're asking at this point, so what does this mean? What is this parable trying to say here in 2017? Like, how do I apply this to my life today? What does it have to do with me? I don't see anybody being stripped and beat up in the streets, and I don't have a donkey. I can't put them on a donkey. So obviously, don't put anybody on a donkey. Please don't walk around Bloomington Normal with a donkey. But what Jesus is trying to say is that we should be serving, okay? There's something about serving. There's something about showing somebody compassion, something about being out there taking time, even if it's just a short amount of time, and caring about somebody and serving them, okay? Jesus laid out the example of who the neighbor was. You are the neighbor. I'm the neighbor. We are the neighbor. We don't have to go and try to say, oh man, who am I going to take care of this week? Oh, I've got a dog, a puppy. I don't know. I can't take care of humans. No, Jesus is saying, hey, you're the neighbor. You're the person that I've put in charge of going out and saying, hey, you know what? I'm just going to take a second here. Hey, don't mind me, guys. I'll catch up with you, but I'm going to get this guy a drink. He looks thirsty. That's all Jesus is saying. He's saying, we are the neighbor. We are the ones that are supposed to go out there and to do things. It doesn't take a religious expert. It doesn't take a pay cut at work. It doesn't take time out of the day canceling plans to take care of other people. It doesn't take everything away for an opportunity to serve. Jesus lays it out and he says, just do it. Just do it on the way. Just do it. It doesn't mean anything for us. So maybe the second question is, okay, where do we do this? How do we do this? You know, we've got, in our community, we've got the foster care system. We've got, you know, a whole bunch of teenagers and young children that have no place, okay? In fact, I know of a couple here in our church today that said, you know what? We're going to serve a couple of kids because we care. And today, those kids are hearing about how much God loves them in our children's program. It's one of those things that they said, you know what, I'm going to take a change. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to say, you know what, God, I trust you. You know, do what you want to. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to start to serve. And I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to take care of these kids. But here's the thing. It doesn't have to be something as big as that. It doesn't have to be this huge life-altering decision. It doesn't have to be this huge moment when you say, okay, I have to put all of my plans on hold. I have to put everything aside because I've got to do this because I feel like God's calling me to do that. And if he's calling you to do that, please do that. I'm not taking away from that. But what I am saying is that maybe you don't feel one of those big callings, but maybe there's somebody at work that nobody says hi to them. You're going to work anyway. You're already there. You're getting paid. Why not say hi? Who else gets paid to say hi? Congratulations, it's you, right? It's just this small little thing. And here's the thing, you know, on the same note, here at Compass, you're already here, okay? You're already showing up. What if you just said hi to other people as they're showing up? It's a small little thing, but hey, welcome to our hospitality team. You know, it's something so small as that. You're a morning person. Congratulations. I don't know how you do it, but 7:30 rolls around and you're strong. You go to the gym every day. Guess what? I got a reason for you to skip the gym. See these speakers? They're heavy. Yep. It's a small little change that can make huge impacts. We talked about a need for a kids check-in. You're already here. I promise you, you can take a donut with you. I promise you, if you really need it, I'll bring you coffee. It's a small little change. It's a small little change that can make a huge impact on how we see other people. It can make a huge impact on what it means to care for other people and how we serve other people, right? So here's a bonus, okay? There was a study that was done by the United Health Group in 2014, right? They had over 3,300 people in this group, okay? Now, for their purpose, they used the word volunteering. It's the same thing as serving, okay? Same idea, same principles. And this is what they found. 76% of people who volunteered in the last 12 months said that volunteering has made them feel healthier. Cool. I could use that. 94% of people who volunteered in the last 12 months said that volunteering improved their mood. Please, somebody tell the junior high girls in our youth group to go find that. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Totally kidding. I'm just going to keep going before I dig myself a deeper hole. 78% of them said that volunteering lowered their stress levels. Okay, that applies to everybody. 96% reported that volunteering enriched their sense of purpose in life. Cool. 80% of them feel like they have control over their health. Again, I'd like that. About a quarter of them reported that their volunteer work has helped them manage a chronic illness by keeping them active and taking their minds off their own problems. Volunteers have better personal scores than non-volunteers on 9 well-established measures of emotional well-being, including personal independence, capacity for rich interpersonal relationships, and overall satisfaction with life. Try saying that one breath. Volunteering also improved their mood and self-esteem. Okay. So there's a whole lot of reasons why maybe serving is great. You know, there's a whole lot of reasons why I should feel better about it. There's something that should make me feel good inside because, you know, if you don't believe what Jesus said, there's a study to prove it by the United Healthcare system, okay? But what we're trying to say is that making that small change, saying, you know what, I'm gonna shift my concepts. I'm gonna shift the way I think. I'm gonna shift it from saying, man, I'm gonna look for opportunities to serve. I'm gonna look for moments to find somebody that I can help. I'm gonna look for moments when I can say, you know what, I can do this and I can help you, Tom Schenck. We can do drywall together. And saying, you know what, I'm gonna make this a lifestyle. You know, I'm gonna say hi to somebody coming in. When I go to work, you know, I might have had a bad day yesterday, you know. My Falcons lost the Super Bowl. But you know what? I'm going to go in with a happy face, because what you don't know is that your coworker was just diagnosed with cancer and all they're looking for is somebody to say, hey, how are you doing? It's a small little question. It's a small little something that can make a huge change. And here's the thing. Maybe it won't make a huge change in your life. Maybe it won't do anything for you. Maybe it won't give you those bubbly feelings and make you feel all healthy and give you a six-pack overnight. But maybe it changes somebody else. Maybe it changes somebody else's concept. Maybe it changes the way that they feel valued. And you say, okay, all right. You know what? I trust you, God. Do what you want to. I don't know what's going to come of this situation. I don't even like that person. They stole my sandwich out of the company refrigerator. Okay? But I'm going to say hi to them. Okay, God, I'll put it in your hands. And then all of a sudden it turns into one of the greatest relationships that you could ever have. And you found out that they thought it was their sandwich. In fact, you ate their sandwich and when you thought it was yours. You never know what could happen. But these things, this idea, think small, this entire series is all about these tiny, minute things that can change our community, that can change who we are as people, who we are as Christ followers, can change how people see us at work. And who knows? I'm not going to say anything about it, or I wasn't going to say anything about it, but maybe something starts here in our community. Maybe something starts because we care enough and we say, okay, I'm already going to the store. I know there's 5 weeks here in this month, and I think the church still does that Feed a Family fifth Sunday. I can get a couple extra things. I'm already going to the grocery store. I'm already there. You know what? I'm going to church anyways today. And, you know, my kid he's a scoundrel, but he still needs to be checked in. They still take him. Maybe I can check in all the other scoundrels. Maybe that's you. Guys, I'm telling you, if you want something small, there's tons of areas to serve around here at church, here at Compass. You know, if you can sing, if you like teenagers, come talk to me. I know the guy. We can get you plugged in. But it doesn't take going and learning an instrument to show somebody God's love. It doesn't take a pay cut to show God's love. It doesn't take canceling all of your plans to show God's love. It's just saying, okay, I can do this on the way. You know, the Good Samaritan, he's got his own story in the Bible. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have a story in the Bible. In fact, this guy was probably made up, maybe. Jesus was just explaining a point. But the point is that we can care for others. We can serve inside of our own comfort zones. Inside the comfort of our own comfy corner office with the view. We can serve somebody in the comfort of a warm cup of Starbucks coffee and a donut fresh from, I don't know where we get donuts from anymore. But the point being is that it doesn't take huge, dramatic, exciting ways. Don't try to reinvent serving. Don't try to do it. Just say, okay, God, yes, I can do this. Whatever you have for me, whatever you think that I can do that I'm not sure I can do on my own right now, I'm trusting you. We sang a song today saying, I will trust you. Even when it doesn't go my way, even when there's somebody laying in front of me, you know, God, let me be the person that doesn't just walk around them. Don't let me be the person that avoids them because I've got stuff to do. Don't let me be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. And Jesus is saying he doesn't want you guys to be that guy either. He wants us to have that fulfillment, that knowing that we said hi to somebody that we didn't even know. And it made their day. They went home and they started telling people, hey, I don't know about that person, but I heard something about this guy named Jesus, and he wrecked my world. He wrecked it. Those are the stories that excite me. I don't know about you guys, but that's an opportunity that we have serving here in our own church. We don't have to go and get licensed by the state to be a foster parent. Again, if you want to do that, I commend you. But it can start right here, right at home. It can start just by saying, okay, I guess I can do this. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you that you've given us an outline, that you've given us direction on how to care and to serve for others, Lord. And we pray for guidance and strength as maybe we go into maybe not so comfortable situations. But God, we know that you can take it, that we can trust in you, that we can have eternal life through you, and that you can give us the strength when we don't have any, that you can give us direction when we don't know what way to go. Lord, we love you and praise you with everything that we have. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.